You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Commerce Commission, responsible for regulating competition and fair trading in Aotearoa New Zealand, recently took two businesses to court over their unconscionable conduct. Among other behaviour, the businesses were found to have misled and exploited consumers and targeted particularly vulnerable customers. This is the first time that the Commerce Commission have pursued cases under this prohibition, with unconscionable conduct being added to the Fair Trading Act back in 2022. To understand exactly what unconscionable conduct entails and how future cases may play out, I spoke to Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jodie Gardner. Kia ora, Jodie. So starting off, first of all, what are the two cases being pursued by the Commerce Commission about?
Thank you very much for inviting me to talk today. The Commerce Commission is very excitingly taking two cases on unconscionable conduct under Section 7 of the Fair Trading Act. And these will be the first cases to really look at this area of law and provide confirmation about what that statute means in practice. And unconscionable conduct refers to a system or pattern of unconscionable behaviour where a business is found to engage in conduct that is considered deliberate and clearly unfair or unreasonable.
Right, so that kind of distinction of deliberate and unreasonable is kind of the qualifier that defines unconscionable here, because it seems like it could be quite a subjective sort of term.
Unconscionability is a very subjective and unclear term. And if you look at different jurisdictions across the world, you'll see that it has been interpreted very differently in the various courts. So this is why it's so interesting to have a look and see which way the courts in Aotearoa New Zealand want to interpret this very broad statutory provision.
Right, and the Commerce Commission has mentioned that in particular it will be looking at lessons from Australia who have a similar prohibition on unconscionable conduct. Would we expect to see our definition of unconscionable conduct lining up with theirs quite well?
In terms of the statutory provisions, there are a lot of similarities in the two different jurisdictions, but unconscionable conduct in and of itself is not defined. So it's up for each country to make a decision on what that term means in light of the standards of behaviour that are expected and allowed in that different jurisdiction. And whilst it's natural to look at our closest neighbour, Australia, and to determine the way that they have interpreted their provisions, I think it would be a lost opportunity if we didn't look more broadly at other jurisdictions, particularly Canada, but also reflect on what us as a country think is appropriate in our circumstances. And one of the big things that the courts could consider is what tikanga would say in these concepts and how to interpret unconscionable conduct in light of those concepts.
Yeah, and are there any other particular aspects of unconscionable conduct, particularly under tikanga, that you would like to see reflected in the court's judgments or decisions?
I think it's going to be really important to not just be limited by what one jurisdiction, namely Australia, has done, particularly when the big case that went to the Australian High Court, which is the apex court in Australia, was decided on a 4-3 majority, which meant that four judges of the High Court felt the behaviour was not at a threshold of unconscionable conduct. But the other three did find that it was unconscionable conduct. So you've got a very difficult decision with some very powerful and I think convincing minority decisions in there, arguing that unconscionable conduct should really be taken seriously and you shouldn't need a deliberate pattern of exploitation or specific defined vulnerability. And it can be a much more flexible approach to the provision.
Yeah, so jumping back to 2022, to when this prohibition was brought in, can you tell us a little bit about the kind of origin of it and what led to it being introduced? Were there many cases slipping through before this legislation?
Prior to the legislation, we did have equitable unconscionable conduct. So we already had a system in place under the case law to protect people from unconscionable conduct. And those elements were outlined in a case called Gustav and Macfield in 2007 as requiring a special disadvantage from the weaker party, knowledge by the powerful party of the special disadvantage, and victimisation of that special disadvantage. And that was considered, that was the law for quite a long period of time, but the statutory provisions were brought in place to give or to respond to what at the time were considered quite significant gaps that existed in the legislation and to provide a broader approach. But we haven't had any decisions that actually define what that broad approach is and how generous or limited the courts will interpret the provision. But what we do know is Section 7 of the Fair Trading Act says that a person must not engage in conduct that is unconscionable, and that this section will apply whether or not there is that system or pattern of unconscionability. So again, making it a broader test than the equitable one. And most interestingly, 7 subsection 3 says the section is not limited to any rule of law or equity relating to unconscionable conduct. So it says that this section should develop separate from the previous restrictions and elements that existed under the equitable regime from Gustav, which is why it's such an exciting case to follow and why it's really hard to predict which way the courts are going to go.
Yeah, so it really sounds like there's a lot of opportunity here to bring in some stronger rights for consumers. Have there been many opponents to this prohibition being brought in from the business community, for example?
Well, this is the first case that we're seeing. So we'll have to see how businesses respond, what the case determines, what the level is set in Aotearoa, and then how the businesses respond to that. But it's not that there has been no precedent in developing a very flexible standard of unconscionable conduct. In Canada, there was a Canadian Supreme Court case of Heller and Uber, which was where an Uber Eats driver argued that the Uber Eats downloadable terms and conditions had an unconscionable provision in there. And the Canadian courts made a very flexible determination of what unconscionable conduct means and didn't require a strict special disadvantage and didn't require the more powerful party to know and have specific knowledge of the circumstances of the individual arguing that was unconscionable conduct. And that was quite a significant movement away from the previous approaches that we had seen in Australia and in the United Kingdom. So there is precedent there, and it would be fantastic if the courts of this country would look broader and really think about what kind of society we want to live in and what business behaviours we find acceptable in our communities.
So what kind of penalties can we expect for businesses who are found to have engaged in this unconscionable conduct?
So individuals can be fined up to $200,000. And body corporates can be fined up to $600,000.
And if someone was to be experiencing what they believe to be unconscionable conduct, in particular, I saw mentioned that some of the consumers affected in these cases were particularly vulnerable customers, how can they report this kind of conduct if they don't have maybe the accessibility to legal services that more fortunate people may?
Absolutely. And this is one of the big issues we have about access to justice and ensuring that people get information and can advocate for their legal rights. I'd encourage anyone who thinks that they may have been a victim of unconscionable conduct or any other unfair sales tactics or breach of their consumer rights to contact their local community law centre, who can provide them with some further information and support about what options they have going forward.
That was Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jodie Gardner, on the Commerce Commission's first unconscionable conduct cases and the future regulatory opportunities of this legislation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.